I'd like to ask you to join me this morning in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. On Friday, I was driving down North Shingle Road coming back to the house here, and one of the churches on the main road over there, they've got those signs, you know, we see them all over the place where people put things out there. They put little sayings of this and little sayings of that. I get a real kick out of the guys down here. They come up with some pretty funny ones sometimes. But the one over here on North Shingle, it says, "What does it mean to believe God?" And I read that, and then all the way between there and here, the Lord just... I actually had a different message that I had planned on preaching today, but when I saw that, I was like, oh, there's... It's amazing what God and how God will inspire a message to come about. Sometimes I get something from listening to other ministers. One of the hardest things sitting and listening to another preacher or visiting preacher is all of a sudden I want to get up and start preaching on a point that he was talking about just now. We see Don Fortner doing that, don't we? All of a sudden he starts writing stuff down. He's got himself a message going there. You know. What does it mean to believe God? How would I answer that question? As I thought about that question and how I would answer it, these words came to mind. Are you with me in Isaiah 55? Look at verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts," God Almighty is speaking, he says, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I send it." Here's the answer to that question. What does it mean to believe God? My ways, saith the Lord, are higher than yours. Higher than mine. His ways are above anything that you and I can imagine. And many, many, many have come up with a wild imagination. Have you ever stopped to wonder how they came up with that thing they call Alien? Have any of you guys seen that movie? It's just one of them scary movies, you know? I looked at that after I got calmed down from being all afraid of it and everything. And I looked at the detail and I thought to myself, you had to take a lot of drugs to come up with something that wild. That's pretty wild stuff. That was pretty much imagination to come up with things like that. Well, that's what we do with religion. We do the same thing. We think about our ways and, well, you know, I like a God who is one of the trees, or I like a God who runs swift as the wolf, or flies as smooth as the eagle. You can come up with all kinds of gods if you let your own imagination work at it. In fact, so many gods were thought of at one time. As Paul was walking through Rome, he's sitting there and he sees all these different statues of gods, all these different tributes to their gods, and just in case one was missed, here was the tribute to the unknown God. Just in case we missed one in our imagination, here's one to the unknown God. What think you of Christ? That was the question of our Bible study. What think you of Christ? What does it mean to believe God? It's to believe that His ways are above ours. To believe God is to repent. You know what repentance means? It means to turn from. But it doesn't just mean to turn from. Because see, a lot of people think that if you repent of your sins, if you say, oh, I'm not going to do that sin anymore. I'm not going to sin in alcohol anymore. I'm not going to sin in beating my wife. I'm not going to sin in whatever it is you can consider in your mind of what sin is. I'm going to turn from that. That's not repentance. That's just doing something different. True repentance is turning from something to another. Turning from what it is you think is wisdom to the true wisdom, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To believe God is to repent, to turn from what we think of ourselves and to turn to the truth of who He is. John the Baptist preached repentance. My title for today's message is My Ways. Not John's, God's ways. Did you realize, have you ever heard this statistic before? Do you know the biggest musical hit of all time, the biggest musical song of all time, is I Did It My Way. First sang by Frank Sinatra, and then sang by Elvis Presley. With the two of those two men together, I Did It My Way is the biggest song, most money-making song of all times. Is that any wonder? You see, that's the nature of man. That song touched so many people because so many people thought about, I did it my way. Look how things turned out. Turned out pretty good on this earth. This earth that had been cursed because of sin. All their treasure. All of those who could put those words to their own heart. Seek the treasures of this world. This world is not our home. The people of God are just passing through. We live in tents as Abraham did. I'm thankful that I have running water in my tent. I'm thankful that I have cold food to eat, meat to eat because it's kept cold. I'm thankful that there's a fireplace to keep me warm. I'm thankful that I have a job to go to, but this is just stuff that's passing by. Folks, there are two places to go for eternity. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Our Lord says, my ways are higher than yours. Is this all we think about anymore? What was going on right here with us? Or do we stop to think about where we're going for eternity? Sin came into this world because Adam did it his way. and mankind has been doing it their own way ever since. Can we take a moment to consider what His ways versus man ways? Can we take a moment to consider His ways versus man's ways? First of all, the Creator is not bound by the things of earth. We live by what we call the laws of nature. Natural things that happen due to that's what their nature is. For instance, you hold an apple up and it drops. You hold an apple up and it drops because that's what it does. Water flows along the least resistible path. Why? Because that's what water does. Night follows day. Day follows night over and over again. Why? Because that's what it does. Moisture turns to clouds. Clouds turn to rain. Rain turns to snow. And so on and so on and so on. If you consume certain products, your body is nourished. If you don't, well, all you have to do is look at me and see the results of that. I think you get the picture, don't you? The God of all creation owns all that is, and He does whatsoever He pleases with it. Nothing is beyond His control. Did He not turn wine or water into wine? Did He not make the sun stand still? Did He not make the Red Sea stand upon each side that the people of Israel would walk across on dry land? And then cause the very same ground that Israel walked on to be muddy again, so that when Egypt came across, their chariots would sink in the mud? Did He not heal the sick and raise the dead? The one thing that we need to do is to put away what we see in the flesh and look to what is eternal, and that is that God rules everything. As I said in Bible study, the most important thing that came to my mind when I first heard this gospel preached was the man standing here spoke of a God who deserved to be called God. I didn't hear the story about how God has done something and now it's up to us to do something. I heard about a God who had done something. I heard about the word shall. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. No ifs, no ands, no buts. There is a God in heaven sitting there right now working everything out according to His own counsel. According to His rule. Not according to ours. His ways are above ours. God's people have no confidence in the flesh. You know why? Because the flesh is weak and foolish. He is Lord of all. He is called God because He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three distinct persons, yet one God. How can we explain such a thing? How can we explain the three in one? His ways are above our ways. That's the only way I can explain it. We were born by the coming of man together, men and women, man and wife. He was born of a virgin. God became flesh? How is that so? His ways are above ours. That's how so. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. He who is perfect and holy in every way was made sin. He who cannot even look upon sin was made sin. How can that be? His ways are above our ways. He who is eternal God died for his chosen people. How could God die? How could he who is eternal die? How can I explain that to somebody who has never heard it? I can't. All I can say is his ways are above our ways. This God-man was raised from the dead and he sits in heaven ruling all things according to his will, according to his counsel, receiving all glory unto himself. Turn back to a page, if you would, to Psalms 53. How can this be? His ways are above our ways. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquitted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How can this be? His ways are above our ways. Folks, today is the day of salvation. May God turn you from the ways of men, that you might see the true and living God. Men want you. They want you to come to God. They want you to make a decision. They want you to get baptized. They want you to worship on Saturday. The way of men is to come to God. The way of God is that God comes to you. I must go through Samaria. That's what the Lord said. Why? Because there was a lady there. A lady who would come to a well. A sinner. Chosen by God before the world was. Just as each of you and I have come to a place where God's preacher has preached the truth of who God is. Just as you and I have been brought to a place to hear the truth of God preached, our Lord had to preach the gospel to that lady. There was a sinner who would be saved by grace at that well. Men want you to make a decision for God. God's way is you were chosen in Christ before the world began. The world hates that. They do not like that at all. What do you mean? I don't have a right to choose. It's my decision what I want to do. Leave us to that and we'll all go to hell. It's our nature. It's the sin that's in us. And as children of God, we see that nature for what it is. Our Lord allows us to continue to see that in our flesh for this reason, so that we will continually, over and over and over again, because it's never going to get any better in this flesh. We must put this flesh off. And we continue over and over again to see the sin that's in this flesh, so that we might praise the Lord and Savior who has gone to the cross and paid for that sin. Lord, help me not to sin. But if I say I'm not a sinner, if I say I don't have any sin, then I lie and God is not in me. That's God's word. Men want you to do something to be saved. God is wanting for nothing. I am here to tell you, thus saith the Lord, if Christ died for you, He will have you. Turn over to the 111th Psalm, please. It's been the way of God's from the foundation of the world to bring people unto Himself. A people predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, Christ Jesus. A people who would spend eternity glorifying and singing praises to the Lord for our salvation. For the shedding of His own blood for our sins. For taking those sins into the grave as they were His. Making them His own. Bearing those sins in His own body is what the Word of God says, yet He had never sinned. His way has always been to call those for whom He died unto Himself, revealing the truths of God to them, giving them life, being once dead in trespasses and sin, yet now we liveth unto God. We looked at this in Bible study, but I want to repeat it. Matthew 16:15. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. He saith unto them, our Lord saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He had asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? Most of the people in the world around them said that He was a prophet of some kind. But who do you say that He is? And Simon Peter, one that was chosen before the world was, just as every one of us are, just as every one of God's people have been chosen before the foundation of the world, Simon Peter answered, because God gave him the answer, and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In our Lord's words that come next are the words that He speaks to each and every one of His people. Everyone who hears and believes who God is, the true and living God, our Lord says this to you. Blessed art thou. Blessed are you. Because you I have given myself for. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But He doesn't stop there. He goes on and He says, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not the rock of Peter as the Catholics would like you to think, the rock of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the only true rock, the only rock that anyone can stand on. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What does it mean to believe God? It means to believe His word. This Bible. In the beginning was the Word. You start reading in Genesis 1 and you go all the way to Revelations 22 and you'll read about Christ if you know Christ. It's to believe His Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Faith is a gift of God. It's not something we just conjure up and all of a sudden start thinking, you know, today I'm not going to be as foolish as I was yesterday. I'm just going to start following God. I'm going to believe Him now. The natural man cannot believe God, for the natural man is enmity against God. You must be born again. It means believe His Word. It means to have the God-given faith that His Word is truth. We talk sometimes about philosophy at work with some of my fellow employees. You know, my philosophy is built on now. It's not on a bunch of hogwash about what men can do. It's about what God has done. It's about the truth of my Lord and Savior who created everything that is. His Word is truth. It means to know the rock that the church of God is built upon. It means to know who Christ the Lord is. He's God Almighty in the flesh. God became flesh. He put His glory of the Spirit away for just a moment in time that He could walk this earth perfectly. Be born of a virgin. Fulfill the law completely for His people. Not one dot was left undone. And once He had completed that, He went to the cross. What does it mean to know God? It means to know what Christ has, the Lord has done. To believe God is to know what Christ our Lord and Savior has done by sacrificing Himself, by providing Himself our sacrifice, shedding His own blood, the pure blood of God, so that you and I would be righteous in Him. What does it mean to believe God? It means to know what Christ the Lord is doing right now. He's sitting on His throne, doing exactly what He wants to do according to His will and purpose, making intercession for all that Father hath given Him. When we sin, our Lord says, that was mine. Don't get me wrong. Don't even think for one second that I'm saying it's okay to go out and sin. God help us to turn from those things that we know as being sin. God help us. But when we fail, and we will, when we step in it, and we will, our Savior sits on the throne right now and He says, I paid for that already. This one is clean. This one is washed in my blood. This one belongs to me, for the God the Father hath given that one to me, and I shall lose none. Can you think of any better assurance than that? Oh, but God. What does it mean to believe God? It means to see His ways are above our ways. It's to see that His ways are true and right. It's to see His Word as true and right. Bill and I were talking earlier about how my brother and wife, his wife, when they lost their child, they lean so heavily on that very fact that all that the Father giveth me, that all things are for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called. That verse got them through that deep sorrow that one goes through when losing a child. It was God's purpose to put Lee and Shirley in this church where they would hear and sit under the preaching of a man who had lost his own child in his own arms. And in private was able to come. God's ways are above our ways. If the Lord of glory has chosen to reveal himself to you and to give you faith to believe, you shall not die in your sins. In Joshua 1 verse 5 we read this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee." This is our Lord speaking. God Almighty is speaking to Joshua, but he's speaking to all of God's people. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." In Jeremiah 24:7, we read this, "And I will give them," speaking to God's people, "an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And if that's not enough for you, let me read one more. 2 Corinthians 6:16, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I'm telling you here this morning, thus saith the Lord, if God be for you, who or what can be against you? Before I read this praise written by the psalmist in 111, allow me to read for you from Romans 8:31. "What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" This is reassurance to me, folks, when I read these words. This reminds me that when I've stepped in the hole on my path and I've stumbled, my Lord will not forsake me. If God be for me, who or what can be against me? "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?" Do you hear the assurance God gives his people? "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us," to separate me. If God be for me, what can be against me? Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God is pleased to reveal his ways to you, you will sing with this psalmist who writes, "Praise ye the Lord," verse 1, Psalms 111. "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are variety and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. What does it mean to believe God? It's just as simple as that. His ways are above ours. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.